you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I love it. This is my type of party. I love it.
Afternoons on the Score.
I've been cut by New England in my second training camp, calling me the criminal element in the league. Fans calling in, oh, I've seen him in the combat zone in Boston all night. I was. And I'm not ashamed of that, being a American male.
Mongo was a character in Blazing Saddles that knocked out a horse.
Hey, you can't park that animal over there. It's illegal.
My nickname in college was Bam Bam. And it's not because I would club you on the field, it's because I bounced at a strip joint with a baseball bat.
Every team needs badasses. When you came in the locker room, you knew these are the kind of guys that you needed to fit in with.
Eason dragged down by Steve McMichael, fumbles. The Bears have it. They rule it. Yes, it is a fumble. And number 99, Dan Hampton, has it for the Bears. McMichael was the one who made the hit and forced the fumble.
God, what a personality.
Dude,
what a personality, man.
Seeing that guy work a room, like comic timing, charisma off the charts, and with an edge, like watching Steve McMichael work a room, it's like a charisma tyrant, you know, like because he would, it would be threatening, but it'd be so damn charming at the same time and funny as hell. And it's like, there's been a lot of really good writing and really good talking about McMichael the player, but I hadn't really thought about how much I'm going to miss McMichael the personality this weekend. Until yesterday, like Bernsey and Lawrence were talking about it with Mike Florio a little bit, and we mentioned it just a little bit at the end of the show yesterday. But like this, a weekend like this, man, like a Hall of Fame week, just made for that dude's personality at its peak to be walking around and loving on everybody, and like people would be coming up to him because he always used to say, "Hey, you want to spend time with me? You think I'm special? I'm happy to agree with you." You know, like just bring it and owning it with a grin. This weekend was made for a guy with his personality, and it's crushing that he won't be there.
Yeah, I met him once. So many people in the media space knew him so well. So
I was close with him or anything like that.
I just don't want to even pretend to inject, because so many people in the local media have so many great experiences with him. But just from consuming it, like consuming the media, consuming the interviews, like knowing the stories of my friends in media who are close to him and those sort of things, it is the larger-than-life personality that at an event like this, yeah, like you're saying, celebrate me, have me tell stories, have me embellish some stories. You know, like that. He's one of the best that we've ever had in this town, and that the sport overall has ever had at doing those sort of things. But then also, man, just a certified badass. 191 consecutive starts.
Yeah, it's insane.
At that position, he's not a kicker.
There were eight
like that. That is so ridiculous.
Yeah, there were eight knee surgeries too, and I assume that all the knee surgeries were in the off seasons. I don't know, because it's from week 7 of 1981 until week 18 of 1993, he never missed a game. It's freaking bananas that there were eight knee surgeries mixed in.
At that position, in that era, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then you talk about the cult of personality and the celebrity and the wrestling and Ric Flair.
See, I was not a wrestling guy. Tanny, did you? What was your appreciation or interaction with Mongo as a big time wrestling personality? I wonder how he went over in that world in full.
You know, from what I've heard, like I didn't consume much of it as it was happening. You know what I mean? I was kind of like that was in my earlier. I had either phased out or I was really into WWF at the time, and he was a WCW guy. Hmm. But what everyone, you know, I've heard a lot about him since then. Heard guys like Ric Flair talk about him and just like how he brought that same like mentality of being a worker and being consistent every day. Like he applied that. It wasn't like a Dennis Rodman thing where he was going out there just for show. Like he really cared about the craft, and he was part of like Ric Flair's Four Horsemen. That was a big deal at that time. You know what I mean? So like that's what I know of it is like everyone in that world respected him because he respected them. You know, so.
That's cool. That's cool that he respected it and that he loved it and brought that to it. He kicked off the Doug Buffone roast when the station, we did a series of roasts for a while. You know, I guess it was 2011 maybe was the Buffone roast, maybe 2012, but Mongo was first and just like everybody had been walking around and, you know, having a drink and talking to people and said, you know, out there in Elk Grove. And then Mongo took the mic and everybody just shut the hell up and like ran to their seats. And he owned the room for about 6 minutes and bailed, but just absolutely killed it. But like the guy could really, really hold a room, and I'll be missing that big time.
Yeah, understandably so. Well, and the thing is too, because this has been written about, and people, you know, all the local TV stations have done the stories, and like Dan Wiederer did a great piece, and The Athletic did a great piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like ALS is so cruel. It's such a cruel disease.
Because the personality is still in there.
Right.
The brain is still in there. The quick wit is all still in there. It's insane to me to think about.
But you're trapped and you don't have the control and you can't express your thoughts. And so it's through blinks or maybe a smile or maybe a nod if you can do that. You know what I mean? But it's such a scary disease.
Of all the personalities to get trapped like that.
Yeah, it's exactly. And so it's amazing that he's still here and he knows that it's happening. But how unbelievably cruel is it that he can't travel, go to it? The celebrations are happening far. I know there'll be something smaller like at the house it's been written about or whatever. But like, I mean, it makes your stomach churn just like how unfair it all is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a neurological disease. It's not the same thing that my brother had, but in terms of brain cancer, but in terms of it's a thing that attacks brain cells. So in some ways it's similar in what it robs you of at the end of life. I mean, it's so hard to watch. It's so brutal. And you see these pictures of him and it does remind me of some of the stuff with Brad at the end and how it wasn't the same person and he couldn't do things and all that. And it's just like, man, you want to celebrate this guy and but it's so hard to remove the sadness of it because he's been pretty forthcoming with this battle that he's faced and all of the people around it. So Jarrett Payton's got a hell of a task in front of him, man.
Yeah, he does.
Like that giving a speech for one of the all-time
speech givers on a weekend that was made for him to speak
that he'll see but can't deliver. And can't communicate exactly what he wants to be in the speech.
Mm.
Like that is just talk about a spot, man. Like just think that is such a spot for our buddy Jarrett Payton. He was on earlier today and, you know, he didn't give much of it away, but just I can't stop thinking about just like as someone who's done some public speaking, you know what I mean? Like think about how difficult of a task that is to try to live up to that cult of personality on that stage with that audience, knowing the what he would be able to do if he was able to give it himself. Here's Jarrett Payton.
You've done the speech. Yes. They've taped the speech. Are you happy with the speech?
I haven't heard it. So it's not really a speech.
They cut it up.
They cut it up, okay. And it's. I would say it's about 3 minutes, probably. They came to my house over a couple of weeks ago. I would say no, probably a month ago.
Yeah.
And they sat down, NFL Films, and we kind of chopped this thing up. And they had an hour interview with me with someone on Zoom, and had all the lights and everything set up in my house. And my kids woke up in the morning, coming down to get breakfast. They're like, "What is going on? We got a TV show here." And you know, I think I was nervous. But once the lights hit and we went, I started to give out stuff. And when you hear from the camera guys who have done multiple of these, they came to me and they said, "Man, you did a good job." And so I'm excited like everybody else just to see what they piece together. But this is all for Steve.
And it's incredible.
It unbelievable. I'm walking around here seeing all of my – I told you guys, I have Bears uncles,
yeah,
right? But now I also have a bunch of goats, too, as well, that are uncles that are walking around with gold jackets. And wow, just to be able to see them and them talking to my kids. Robert Brazil was just telling stories to my son about him and my dad battling at Jackson State. It's like,
oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's this is a different feel. And I think the reason why I wish, you know, Mongo was able to be here for this moment, because he needs to be, should be amongst all of these greats when he's getting his jacket.
Yeah, I really should. Man, that's rough. I didn't realize just like a 3-minute edited piece as part of the induction ceremonies.
Does take some of the pressure off Jarrett Payton.
That's for sure. But it's a little bit of a bummer from my perspective. But, you know,
well,
I get it. I can't pretend to have watched the entire NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in previous years. Like, I'll pick up a speech here or there in the post.
Yeah, I mean, I have before. I usually do not sit through the full, because it's hours.
Yeah.
It's very, very long. But I have before, but it is a little bit of a bummer that he will get a shortened version of it.
Well, like, you know, the last one from recent memory was Urlacher's, and it was a big deal because, you know, we know a lot of those people that are mentioned in these speeches now, like, you know, mentioning Olin, mentioning Pat. It means the world to guys like that. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a chance for football, such a game where you don't know the faces and, you know,
yeah,
you may know the names, but you get to, you know, get stories behind some of these guys inside the helmet. And it sounds like we won't get many of that. You know, I don't know if this is like a thing for all of them now, but it certainly sucks that it's not going to be like a little bit longer thing.
I can't imagine. These guys are still going to give speeches.
No, dude, people will get to give speeches.
It's got to be that, because normally there's someone, you know, introduces you, and then there's the speech. But I think the introductions have become more produced packages to like incorporate highlights and what their peers say about them and things like that. So it sounds like we're not getting a speech.
Not getting a speech, but we're getting the introduction.
We're getting the introduction as narrated by Jarrett Payton. I think so for Mongo, we're getting a combination of the two things. Mm-hmm. The other guys will get the produced piece to introduce them and then the full speech, is my understanding.
Understood.
Of it. Singletary was on talking about his old teammate.
What made him a Hall of Fame teammate to you?
If I had to think of one word, consistency. He was always there. Whether he was hurt, whether I don't care what the situation was, it was very difficult to get him to come out of the game for any reason at all. But very unselfish, tremendous teammate.
That defense, Mike, was – I mean, we're still talking about it. We're still celebrating it. We're acting – I think we feel – I know people in Baltimore would argue – it's the best defense that I've ever seen in my life. The scheme, the way you guys played – I mean, how many Hall of Famers now. It's extraordinary to look back on what you guys achieved.
Well, I've been talking about this last couple of years, and really I thought about it more so this year, why Buddy Ryan is not here. To me, Buddy was the guy that was able to really put it together, really think of a system at that time that would really have the effectiveness that it did, being able to get to the quarterback. And as the game began to change, at that time, really making it more from a transitioning from a running game. Football was a primarily a running football game where you ran maybe 70% of the time. You threw on third down. And as the game changed, where teams started passing, spreading you out, and all of those things, Buddy found a way to make them tight again. So, bring those receivers in. So it was really, timing was everything, and it was a fantastic opportunity to be a part of that.
Everyone had a role in that 46 defense. You had to know them all. How would you describe Steve McMichael's role in that defense and what he did to make the linebackers around you and others better?
It's just doing his job. Whether it was the 46 defense, whether it was the 4-3 defense, it is, if you go around the league and you ask any defensive lineman, what was your job? Well, my first job is to make sure that I hold the jump through, make it easier for the linebackers to flow. My second job, if I have the opportunity to go get the quarterback, go get him. And that is what every defensive lineman's job is. And when I look at Steve did it about as well as anyone.
And then Mike made a lot of tackles.
Made a lot of tackles with Mongo and Hamp up there.
Yeah, that was helpful.
Yeah, it was certainly. And I know some people use it to take away from Singletary because Singletary got a lot of the highlights and, you know, the iconic footage. And
I don't know what you mean.
Then he became a little overrated because of it. But, I mean, could have had a worse middle linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like, yes,
sure.
You had a Hall of Fame caliber defensive tackles, but you also had a hell of a middle linebacker. It was a good defense.
Takes a whole team.
Yeah, so.
That checks out.
Yeah.
You know, you remember the filmmaker Jason Hayhier, the guy who made The Last Dance, the Bulls documentary?
Yeah.
He also made the 85 Bears 30 for 30. About the 85 Bears. And he said that Steve McMichael was one of the smartest and most intelligent, most articulate guys that he'd ever met. Like, blew him away. And I was reading an old piece about McMichael that our guy Dan Reederer wrote in the Tribune from about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, they've become close.
Yeah, oh, okay. But this was one from a while back or whatever. But and hey, here was telling somebody, yeah, he's just really smart and really intelligent, articulate. And McMichael's in the back going, don't ruin the bit! Don't ruin the bit, because he had a lot of wisdom in there and a lot of smarts in there, like a lot of very funny people do, right? And he just he chose to use it comedically and take an edge off of everybody in that way.
Well, there's it's a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you more likable, makes you more relatable. People underestimate you.
Yes.
You know, it's a very common trait in negotiation or business or media hosting. I mean, how many times did Terry Bors be like, I don't know anything. I'm just an idiot.
Yeah, you know me. I'm just an idiot.
It's like, no, you're pretty much conquered two different forms of this medium and have covered every significant sporting event in this town for 2.5 decades. I don't think you're a complete idiot.
I bet it worked on the field every once in a while, too. Right? You trash talk an offensive lineman, trash talk some people, whatever, get them laughing, and then just beat the bejesus out of them.
Sure.
To get across the line.
Make them like you and then destroy them.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry about that ALS thing. That sucks.
It's brutal, man.
Dude, when you and I were just talking about it, like, my mind went to a real place of thinking about the freaking disease. It's just like.
Yes.
Speaks, weren't you just celebrating ALS last week?
No. That's not how
I'm
sorry. Roll.
I thought you were.
Is today the 10-year anniversary of the Ice Bucket
ALS?
Challenge?
It's been a while.
It's been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yeah, I think it's 10 years.
Have we looked into whether or not ice water is giving people ALS?
I don't think we have.
We should look into that.
Did you guys participate?
This line of comedic
in that challenge? No.
I
didn't want ALS.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
He keeps trying.
He does.
I respect the rushing attempts, really.
Do you?
But most of the time, yeah.
Run the damn ball, like I've always said.
Yeah, that's what you've always said.
I participate in the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
I did it in the bathtub. It's not that exciting.
We challenged Ryan Suckup Well, you know, you had to like pass it on to somebody.
God, what a brown nose.
And so Ryan Suckup, who's the kicker of the Chiefs. But it was cool because like we brought it into the Chiefs locker room and like he accepted it from us. And then, you know, it's like then like Jamal Charles was doing it.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I challenged a guy named Jimmy Askisser. Couldn't even get it out. I hate when I can't get the joke out.
Would you guys do an ALS really bucket like challenge it. Right now?
What's that?
Would you do one right now?
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
I don't have a change of
Danny,
clothes.
If I told you that if you did the ALS ice bucket challenge right now, that the disease would be cured.
Well, then I would do it.
You would do it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got news for you, buddy.
All right.
Tanny, put on that doctor.
All right, I'm ready to go. You know, they say it's not healthy to check in on your exes, but we'll do it next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins. You know what I mean?
Afternoons on The Score.
The home run is 19th of the year last night. First hit in a Rays uniform. Went 420 feet and there's a shot down the line and left. And that baby's gone. To give the Rays a 1-0 lead. Well, Morrell's first hit in the big leagues was a home run. His first two hits in a Rays uniform. Home runs. How about that?
All our exes are flourishing when they leave Chicago.
Yeah, that's Christopher Morel.
Yep.
Your guy. You going to wear eye black every day after he hits a home run as a member of the Rays?
No. It's an idea for a bit.
Yeah, it was a good idea.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was fun.
It was okay.
You know.
I've had better. I've had worse.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one time we brought surgical masks just before a pandemic to a baseball game.
It was much before the pandemic.
Was
Thank
it
you
much
very
before
little.
It? Yeah. Didn't we cause it, though?
Well, that was Scorehouse. Score out.
That's why I get confused.
Yeah, score out. Okay. For your patience here.
But yeah, Christopher Morel, a couple homers as a member of the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
See what Tommy Pham did in his first at bat as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals? There were three guys on base.
Driven toward the gap, right center field. That ball is going to be gone! A grand slam to Tommy Pham! Holy cow!
Yeah, that's Chip Carey. There, he seems happy.
Well, yeah, grand slams it's the most runs you can score on any one play in baseball. So they're good plays.
That's the play you keep telling Council to run.
I keep telling him to do it, and he's just like, stop telling me to run the grand
slam. Should we call Chip Carey right now and ask him just like one question? Are you happy, Chip?
Yeah, he would confirm.
He probably would, right?
He probably would confirm.
I like Chip. Chip's a good dude.
I like chips.
The chips are delicious.
they're delicious. I'm sorry.
What's your favorite chip? All right, real quick. 4:30. What's your favorite chip? Go.
Cape Cod. Classic kettle.
Classic kettle?
Yeah.
God, Beaks? That's so boring.
It's because it's the best chip.
You know, my first thought is the Pringles sour cream and onion.
Oh, that's a horrible pick.
I love it. It's delicious.
It speaks.
A Pringle is not a chip.
Okay.
It comes in a tube. Penny?
The Utz brand, the crab chip. It's Old Bay flavored potato chips.
Wow.
Miss Vicky spicy dill pickle.
You had some today.
Yeah, I did.
You were very excited.
It's my lunch
about
pretty much every day.
Where do you get that?
Upstairs.
So healthy.
Yeah, on our little area up there with the chips.
Gotcha. Can I commission you to go grab some of those?
You I'll want try some right now.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Let me go get my debit card. One second.
In the potato chip humidor, the chipador.
anything else you guys need? Not upstairs, but about chips before I leave and go get you something.
No, you're good. You're good.
All right, be right back.
Thanks a lot.
We've worked together long enough.
You're gonna make him buy you dill chips.
He's in. He's so excited. He's gonna get some for himself as well. All right, so that's Morrell and that's Pham.
Yeah.
Mark Leiter Jr. got into the game for the Yankees yesterday when DJ LeMahieu drove in 6 runs and they beat the Phillies. And you know what he did? He hit a hold.
Oh, that's good.
Yankees lead 6-4. And Mark Leiter Jr., now the little pitcher has a beard, but that came off when he arrived yesterday. Clean shaven. A little bit of a mullet working, but it worked yesterday as he pitched 1 inning in the Yankees' 12-inning win. So Mark will come in and face the heart of the order. Harper, Bohm, and Castellanos.
You see the high strikeout totals for the 37 and a third, 53. That becomes really important when you're a late inning reliever, especially when you come in with runners in scoring position.
Joe Girard.
And when you look at the Yankee bullpen, that's one of the things that's missing is the swing and miss guy, and that's one of the reasons they made the trade for Leiter.
Yeah, they were 7th in the American League with an 8.93 strikeout rate by their bullpen.
Thought you were a marquee
Phillies
guy, Joe.
Phillies are 2nd in the National League with over 10.
We told the story earlier. He showed up at the ballpark in the 3rd inning yesterday. Shook some hands and went out to the bullpen. Big spot in this game, 0-2 on Marsh. Got him! Leiter gets tough and strikes out Marsh to lead the bases loaded. Pitch diving down in the zone. And Leiter is pumped up. 6-5 Yanks.
Mark Leiter Jr. is going to be a playoff killer for the Yankees.
Yeah, I know we talked about this segment, and I know I was like, I thought it through, and I why did I sign off on this? This is painful.
It is. It hurts.
I don't like any of this.
I know, right?
This is stupid.
Your favorite type of pain is coming up in short order here, the White Sox fan pain. But
you guys can
talk about your Cub guys though before we move on.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Leiter Jr. His dad was
that's
named
why we did it.
Mark Leiter Sr. That was his dad. For anybody who doesn't know, he pitched in the big leagues, and his uncle was Al Leiter. He pitched in the big leagues. Lots of Yankees history. Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, try those too. Sweet and tangy barbecue and the sea salt, Miss Vicky's, and the jalapeno. No dill pickle. Oh, my God, but you got 4 chips.
How many bags of chips have you purchased today now? 7 total.
Do we believe he's purchasing?
You think he's stealing the
it's
chips?
The honor system up there. You know, if you want to take my Amazon sushi and leave it up there for somebody else, you could do that.
Wow. Taney made the allegation that you're stealing these chips, Shane.
I didn't say you were. I said, does anyone believe that he's paying for all of them?
I mean,
you let us make
the allegation. I had to go back into the office and get my debit card. I have it right here.
Oh, wow.
I'll show it on camera.
Okay. Okay. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, make sure it means that you own a debit card.
Make sure you show it on camera.
I'm saying I didn't have it before. So I went to go get it to go pay for the chips.
Get a still of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Some member of the Twitch mob flip it around.
I showed the front.
Show them the CVC.
What's your billing zip code?
60647.
Could I have the last 4 of your social, please?
6951. My mom's maiden name is Daly.
I'm going to need your elementary school.
Dooley. First pet, please. Wilson.
Thank you. And the hospital where you were born.
Resurrection.
He knows all of these.
Your first job is obviously this one.
Okay. Gobert.
And your last job is also this one.
Gobert's Farm. My first and my last. I'm going back there. After this contract.
Taking me down to Gobert's Farm. Mark Leiter Jr., Jersey kid, grew up in Jersey. Now he's pitching for the Yankees. Good for him. Be happy for him. And if you want to wallow in the misery or just enjoy yourself in some White Sox misery, watch Michael Kopech strike out the side.
Got an exciting thing right here. Michael Kopech, one of the newest Dodgers, ready to make his Dodger debut, acquired at the deadline from the White Sox, former first-round draft pick. Overwhelmingly powerful stuff. Dodgers trying to harness here, and they think they have a shot here to have a weapon. They can tweak a thing or two. He's 28 years old. He's out of Mount Pleasant High School in Texas. Originally a first-round pick of the Boston Red Sox a decade ago, and then was the key piece of the Chris Sale deal. Sent him to the White Sox. Certainly a different look than the Dodgers have. They've got some good right-handers, but this is a big, imposing guy who's throwing close to 100.
Oh, and there's something about the intimidation factor that Kopech has. Every time you look at his numbers, you kind of, like, wipe your eyes, scratch your, like, really? Is that where he's at? But this is a guy, Joe, that you know. I mean, you think about pitchers that the Dodgers organization has gotten that have been kind of like, oh, okay, that we'll see what happens. This is a big name, big time arm that so many within baseball have talked about. If he could get with the right team, look out.
Another payoff pitch. Shimmy strikes out Merrill with a 100-mile-per-hour fastball up.
First strikeout, too, for a Padres hitter in this game.
So the fastball dynamic, you've already seen that. But at 80%, that seems like an obvious lever you could pull to bring that down a little bit. Still have it be your featured pitch, but maybe use it a little less.
100%. I mean, you think about that slider and cutter specifically. If he starts to be able to lean on those pitches, kind of work those to be even better pitches, and then the fastball is the finishing touch.
Back-to-back K's to open his time with the Dodgers. Both of them on high heat. A few weeks ago, Kopech gave up a walk-off home run in Miami, and he said it was kind of a moment where he's like, all right, I got to change something. And he's trying to throw everything 101 miles an hour. That's nasty right there to get ahead one and two. And so it's still firm, but he said he's not quite trying to break shatter glass every pitch that he throws, trying to be more of a pitcher. And the arrows pointed up the last few games since then. Five straight scoreless games since coming over to the Dodgers. That includes an immaculate inning over the last couple weeks. Wow, 101 to finish the job on a sparkling Dodger debut. First impression made as he strikes out the side.
Dude.
Sweet.
They're talking about it right there on the broadcast. Boy, I'm noticing he throws the fastball a lot. He ought to bring that down, don't you think, Jessica Mendoza? And she's like, yeah.
Game one.
100%. He really should. It's what everybody has known about Kopech. He's got a great slider.
That's the trick, though, right, Speaks? Like, getting him to believe that and getting them to do it. Get on the same page.
Always has been, because he falls in love with his heat and he gives you too much heat. Remember when Mike Tauchman hit the walk-off homer off him? He's like, yeah, I went up there looking fastball. You got to.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, but yeah, you got to do that.
But Speaks, also, you know, the third pitch or the strikeout pitch in all three of those at-bats, none of them were strikes. The National League will figure him out, and people will stop swinging because he doesn't throw strikes.
But the last one was heat. It doesn't matter if the heat is a strike.
It was way above the zone.
It doesn't matter if they're afraid of the slider for a strike. If they're afraid of the slider or the cutter for a strike, 101 is going to freak them out and make them jump and swing if it's up at the eyes. It happens all the freaking time.
They shouldn't jump. That's not good for power.
If it's going to be this simple that the Dodgers are like, oh, yeah, hey, Michael, would you trust us? We say do this. He's like, well, okay. I mean, you guys are the Dodgers. I guess I should. I mean, the White Sox kind of said that, but I didn't really believe
them. But it was the White Sox.
Because they're dumbasses. You guys are telling me, okay, sure. Like, it might be that easy to fix Michael Kopech. And that would be freaking maddening.
Fix Michael Kopech. You were the guy that said that you just didn't trust that it was possible because of between the ears.
I know. And maybe I still shouldn't trust it. Maybe I still shouldn't trust it because maybe he will regress back. He will fall in love with the fastball again, and he'll shake people off. And we'll see.
One inning with the Dodgers, and you're all of a sudden.
I'm not all flipped around, but I want to know if it's going to be
topsy turvy.
Well, I want to know if it's going to be that easy. If it's going to be that easy, then yeah, I was wrong about him.
You put him back out there tonight? Do they play tonight?
Yeah, I'd only put him back out there if they do play.
Yeah, it seemed like unnecessary to have him pitch high intensity.
You know what I'm saying. They don't play tonight.
So, well, then, no, yeah, I wouldn't put him back.
Let's leave him.
That would really mess with his head.
God. Michael, we don't have a game tonight.
Is that what you do with the Dodgers?
We brought in the Reds. They're going to be still, there for you.
We still want you to go out there and throw it 100%. Might mean we can't use it in the game tomorrow, but we think it's worth it.
Yeah, they start the Dodgers. A series with the A's tomorrow.
Oh,
so
okay.
You put it back out there tomorrow?
Oh, that's a good question. Sure. It's been a day off.
Yeah, there's a day off because I'm not pitching him today. That's the president of baseball
Shane
talking.
Wood. Yeah, that's right. Who's running for vice president?
No, anybody? Nobody wants to be,
none of us wants to be my vice president.
We don't want to work or work under you.
No.
You're a tyrant.
I've been handed the title of president of baseball.
Here's
by
the thing. None of us want to be president of baseball because with you as president and us as vice president,
what?
I worry about.
What do you worry about?
Our game.
You worry about my health? Do I look sleepy?
I worry about possible assassinations because people would want to see us president of baseball.
Speaks, are you black or are you Indian? Which one?
I think I'm going to get in trouble as president of baseball. I'm going to
pick one.
Yeah.
You just went to a powwow a couple weeks ago.
I did.
Was that performative?
It was, I believe in the Native American culture.
I did not have sexual relations with that Rapsodo machine.
Ask not.
Could you would know a lot about Speaks Thrust at that point.
Ask not what Fangraphs can do for you.
Dan Bernstein was sitting there reading me an article from Craig Calcaterra, and I just got so turned
right.
on.
Oh, Four innings and seven doubles ago.
Mr. Ricketts, bring in this wall.
See, I think you all would like to be part of my administration.
No.
Could I be Secretary
of Defense or the Attorney General?
Yeah. No, you can be. You can be the Secretary of Opposite Field Hitting. Would you like that? You kind of like that post.
I'll settle. Yeah.
You'd like that post.
I'll take that.
You're trying to teach great softball players to be even better by having them go oppo. You change the season of our guy Nico Horner with your oppo taco convo.
I fix Nico. People are saying.
We have.
I'm kind of proud of oppo taco convo.
We know.
I'll settle down.
We know.
So, you need to hire someone to get me to stop sending my softball highlights to Nico. You have to hire someone who will do that.
He should block your number on Monday nights. He should block your number.
It's like, dude, here's another one.
Yeah. He's like, I get
he
it.
He always responds.
Yeah, I'm sure he leans over and shows his girlfriend, honey, look at this. That idiot sent me another softball.
We got big injury news, both in football and baseball, that's relevant locally. Next on The Score.
Parkins and Spiegel show flashback.
Paul Kucharski, paulkucharski.com.
Whoa.
What did I do wrong there, Paul?
Well, you got to get close on the name. There's no C in there. You see a C in there? Kucharski.
Kucharski. I apologize, Paul. I wrote it down incorrectly on my sheet. That is my fault. Middays, though, 104.5 The Zone. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's better, but that's not tough.
I'm sorry if I've offended you.
We're fine. Let's go.
Okay, excellent. I just wanted to apologize for getting your name wrong. Paul Kucharski.
Before he said, we're fine, let's go, I would have never said another word again on the radio. I was going to sit in that silence for the rest of my career until he was the one to blink first.
It was a very, very gracious apology by you.
Thank you.
Do you have any idea how hated that guy is in Titans football, like, lore?
Is he really?
Like, a friend of the company and US 99 morning host Austin Huff is a Titans blogger as well. He talks massive crap about Paul Kucharski.
Really?
Titans fans hate him.
There's only one guy down there whose opinion I care about, and that's Skibbity-Bobbity. I want to know what Skibbity-Bobbity thinks of Paul Kucharski. Are they tight?
Brother, you bought also furniture.
Paul, thank you for the time. Sorry for wasting it. Thank you.
Sorry to be harsh on the name.
I don't think you are. Let's go to Pittsburgh.
Bad guy move
there
on your
is.
Part.
That's
bad
it.
Guy move. He apologized.
He did it. He apologized. He knew he'd been a
and
jag.
And you were like, no, screw you, dumbass.
I don't think you are.
Said other people don't like him.
No, whatever, dude. Like, stop listening to me. Don't do that.
Other people don't like you, too.
Danny Parkins in 8 seconds. What's the news, though? What's the news?
Paul Kucharski
is not playing against the Bears?
Is reporting that DeAndre Hopkins probably won't.
Oh, really?
4 to 6 weeks, knee sprain.
Oh, that includes the opener against the Bears. It falls in that 4 to 6 weeks.
Hey, it's not who you play, but when you play them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Titans week one.
Big Treylon Burks game.
Yeah, exactly. DeAndre Hopkins, knee sprain.
How about the president of baseball giving you Treylon Burks?
Did you see Nick Costos' tweet there?
No.
Oh, because he said it could be Treylon Burks' season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, it just happened.
Was
yeah.
that your take on Koala Speaks?
I just saw it too.
Costos is taking all my stuff. Shane, once again, watch Grizzly Man tonight.
Wow.
Do it.
I got nothing to
he's
do.
He's got the Hall of Fame game, man.
He's not going to watch the Hall of Fame
game. Of course I will.
Right,
damn
we're,
it.
We're going to talk about that coming up at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And then Dan Weeder from Kansas 30. And then we had a baseball injury news that the president of baseball here was wrong about when he said that it was a phantom injury for Adbert Alzolay. He hasn't pitched since and now is having surgery.
Oh, Speaks, where's your press secretary to make your corrections out here and clarify?
Who was the press secretary that Trump had?
God, there were like nine.
I know, but there was the one who was really funny because Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, Spicer.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer. And Melissa McCarthy's impression of Sean Spicer on SNL.
Rolling around with the podium.
She had the podium and she kept moving the podium around.
Bears.
And trying to knock people over with the podium. It was just delightful.
Bears. He did have a lot.
Hey, Mark Grody, what's happening? Yeah, he did have a lot of
players. Alyssa Bergamini as well.
Yeah, Sean Spicer's going to work for me.
Alyssa Bergamini for today's purposes.
Bergamini.
Speaks, I did see the same thing. Adbert Alzolay got hurt doing a impression of the Phantom of the Opera. That's what you were trying to say. It was a phantom injury doing Phantom of the Opera.
It still was like, he said he was fine, he was fine, he was fine, he was fine, he was fine. Oh, my arm, it hurts because my slider sucks. And then all of a sudden, they kept trying to like work on the slider,
but he hasn't pitched
work.
Since, and now he's having surgery.
I know he hasn't pitched in the big league since, but he threw it a lot. Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, you're standing behind fake injury?
No.
Any questions? For my president.
Sounds like he's standing.
It's very unprecedented.
No more questions.
The injury came from China. It was manufactured in a lab in China. A bat was eaten at a market.
Bat, that's right.
That's how he got it.
Adbert has the bird flu. I won't be taking any more questions at this time.
And his haircut's stupid.
I have a big trip to Dallas planned. The people of Dallas are going to love me. I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
Did he even have COVID?
They're just absolutely.
Is that why he dropped
the governor's going to pick me up. Me and my lovely wife, we're going to be in a motorcade. You got to swing by the old book depository. Ooh. See how it goes.
A convertible or?
Well, absolutely.
I hope not.
Why not? You can't say the people of Dallas don't love me.
That's not a route a president should take.
Whatever. It's going to be fine.
Was it the teleprompter?
No way. Yes.
Look at that grassy knoll right over there. By the way, if you go there to the Texas School Book Depository and you walk over to the grassy knoll and somebody has like a big binder full of photos that they'd like to show you, don't look at them.
Oh, really?
Just don't do it.
That checks out. They charge you?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, they want you to buy them, but they're the autopsy photos. It's like, I don't need to see the brains of the president in your binder here on the grassy knoll.
How much?
I saw it today on Twitter. There's an account called like Morbid Something. It just like popped up on my For You page.
That's my For You thing too.
You see that, right?
Yes.
They showed the back seat of the limo.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
With all the blood and like the brains, allegedly.
Yeah.
We didn't even know if that was him.
Just.
Pretty sure it was.
Probably.
I follow the man.
But more brains in presidents. That's what I say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all get along on that one.
Famously.
I learned everything I need to know about this situation from Les, by the way.
Les, what happened, unfortunately, to President Kennedy 1963.
That was November 22nd, and we don't know if it was Lee Harvey Oswald or a whole big thing there, but he kind of got blown away.
Yeah, kind of did.
I think, less music talk.
I think it was a whole big thing. That's what I think. I think it was a whole big thing.
I'm leaning towards that myself.
Leaning towards that.
What are we watching for in the game tonight? How long will we last with this Bears game tonight? Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.